West West, y'all.
Here's Ola. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this!
And welcome to another episode of the 135 Footy Podcast. Happy Easter, boys. Welcome in the brothers. Stace, how's it going, man?
What's up, Poos? Thanks for having me on again, brother.
Thanks for coming, man. And welcome in, On Guy. How's it going, brother?
My little boys. Yeah, good, bro. Nah, it's been good, man. How's the week been? Ozzles?
Yeah, good, bro. Getting back into things. Good to have a break. Easter around the corner, so nice to have a little break from everything. Producer wasn't available tonight, so hopefully this recording goes well. Trying to do it on our own. How about you? Any plans for Easter?
Me, nah, no plans, bro. I've got a welcome break from work, man, so I'm just going to enjoy it with the fams. Probably a good chance to watch all the footy. As you can tell, last few weeks, bro, I've been talking cucks about the games. I've just half-heartedly watching them, so hopefully next week we can give you I can give you a better informed opinion by watching all the games. But nah, bro, just enjoying the time with the fans, and I'm gonna head out to Suncorp tomorrow, bro, and Mr. Broncos resurrect our season again by having an upset win over the Cowboys, who are flying high, bro.
First place Cowboys, mate. Oh, I still see you and try and get up to that game on Sunday, bro.
Yeah, good to have a long break. Work's been pretty full on, so looking forward to an extra few days off and trying to spend time with the family. Not really going anywhere. We've got my kids' prize giving for their tag on Saturday, and then, yeah, hopefully go to Fortress Mount Smart.
Nice.
Support the boys, hopefully can get a win.
Oh, mate, yeah, should be a good one, yeah. Especially against the Knights. After last year's, that was the semi-final, before they moved into, quarter? Was it quarter moving into the semi?
Yeah, right, quarter it was. Week two of the playoffs. So hopefully that's still resting in their memories and we can bring those days back. Yep.
Thank you. All right, let's get into last week's games. I missed quite a few. Had a busy weekend over last weekend, so that Thursday game, that was while we were recording. So a lot of stuff to come out of that game. 34 points to the Panthers over the Broncos, 12 points. Probably the biggest talking point early in the game. We brought it up. Apologies, actually, for the listeners. And from I know some of the guys jumped on the old TikTok going hard. I was talking about Isaac Tango getting put on report for that. It was actually Taylor May. So, yeah, apologies for that. Hey, man, we were in the middle of a recording. That's why I got it wrong. We were actually talking about head knocks from the week before, and you had a very strong stance about, it's all about accidents. It's just part of the game. You still feeling the same after what happened on Thursday night, so? You still, accidents happen, man? All part of the game?
Straight into that. Yeah, bro, I still think that, a lot of these head-on collisions are accidents, bro. But without trying to sound biased or anything, I thought the way that May came in on Walsh had no time to react whatsoever, bro. And we see that a lot from wingers coming into fullbacks, but he did that from center. So I think the time was even less for him to react. But I still think as a defender in that situation, when you're coming in and trying to make a trying to stop the fullback getting the ball, I think you're responsible, because the ball carrier just in that instance had no time to react, bro. A lot of the time, ball carrier and defenders coming together, they're both 50-50 responsible, and you can say 9 times out of 10 it's a accidental. But in that instance, when and Walsh not even fucking looking at him, and that's a blindside shot, so it's like, how can you put the fault at with Reece Walsh? The defender, which was May, he came in, bro, from a far way out. And I know the intent was not to cause a head collision, but I just think that he had time, even though he was running full tilt, he had time to drop the shoulder. And I just thought he was a little bit too upright, if anything, reckless, bro. But fuck, he didn't even get a challenge, bro. So what does that mean, bro? So that just rubbishes my claim. Otherwise, the NRL will shit, or Panthers are protected species. I don't know.
So going to you, Stace, because I guess, you know, in terms of these conversations, especially on the counter ruck, you guys, you know, very different in Union. And I mentioned last week, I probably don't want to see the game going the same way. But that duty of care that they talk about, that's something that, you know, Union's been pushing for a very long time now, that, you know, that you've got the
mouth. How many weeks would he got in Union, Stace?
Oh, he would have got a lot. And they've got similar rules, similar to what you mentioned, Si, where the onus is really on the defender. Because like you say, the attack hasn't got any time to make any adjustments. And defender's rushing in, so the defender has a duty of care to try to make sure that the tackle is safe. And from that perspective, I agree. I put more on Taylan May because he had more sort of control over the outcome in that regard. So I think he should have been charged. Like, we've got careless high tackles and reckless this and all sorts of different charges. And you could put that in the careless / reckless category. So I think he should have got one of those types of charges. How long he would get, I don't know, because there is the accidental element of it. But I think he should have at least been charged and got something for it. Particularly when you think, and I know this shouldn't come into it, but Walsh is out for 6 weeks. I know that shouldn't come into it too much, but I mean, you know, he hit him with such force in the face that, you know, he's going to be out for an extended period. And, you know, you think he's probably the face of the game. If that face gets wrecked, he might not be the face of the game anymore. Chick still scars. But, yeah, I think he should have got charged. true that. Yeah.
So with the, as a defender, I guess, you know, kind of that enforcement, and because it's the same with, and you guys mentioned it last year as well, you know, they need to reward good tackle, good legs tackles, those kind of things. Because, again, it's like, oh, crap. When they had that same problem around shoulder on head, it didn't take long for them to, you know, change that behavior and be able to move away from, you know, just reteaching them to drop lower. And so you don't see as much shoulder on head contacts anymore. They're being able to kind of pull that out of the game, and it's not something we talk about anymore. I think the enforcement is probably the way to kind of get it out of the game. As much as it's accidental, we had those exact same examples I brought up last week, Cam McInnes on Famosili and Kamikamika on Tohu. Reckless, but nothing happened a couple of weeks before, and now we're in this position.
Oh, I don't know, bro. Like I said last week, and I'm not saying this about this May incident because I'm a Broncos fan, but that they're all different instances, and I think they shouldn't really have a blanket rule like, you know, the defenders, that it's up to the defender to make sure his head doesn't knock the ball carrier, because I think in a lot of instances it's really accidental, bro. The ball carrier, the defender doesn't mean for his head to hit, especially if the ball carrier's got late feet, which we did mention, that will initiate head contact. Because, you know, sometimes the defender will drop his head, get ready for his shoulder to hit, you know, the target, which could be the chest or around the hips or wherever. But the ball carrier's moved his head or put late step on him, and now his head's in line. All those instances you brought up, Kamitamita and was it McInnes? Cameron McInnes. That's accidental, bro. And I'm not kind of contradicting about bringing up the May, but the May incident is he's coming from far away. Walsh doesn't even see him coming, bro. That's a blind shot. So everything's so May. He's got the ability to change his line or put his head on the side of Walsh's. You've seen a lot of wingers come in and smash fullbacks and not create head on head. So I don't know. I don't want to get to that point where it's blanket and fucking end up like Five Nations Rugby Union or just Rugby Union in general now, where these ridiculous calls where you're giving red card for anything that's head on head, because I really do think it's a lot of it's accidental. But that that Broncos one, the May one, man, I can see how that kind of reckless on me from May's point of view. But, you know, the NRL.
I think the thing, like you talk about that blank rule, but in union, at least it's consistent. Because, like you're saying, like with what Tanner's talking about, you know, Kami Kamitha is not getting anything. Now we're saying that Reece Walsh should get something. You know, there's no consistency around the rulings. And you think, like I talked about this a bit earlier about Walsh getting 6 weeks on the sideline. If he'd got back up and there was nothing, I reckon no one would say anything about should he be charged or anything. And it's sort of, that's where it gets real inconsistent. And that's where I think, I agree with your point about not getting like union, because they've gone maybe a bit too far. But at least they know. It doesn't matter if it's accidental or incidental or whatever. If you make contact with the head, you're going to get a charge. It might be a small charge, might be a small card, sort of just a yellow card, and that's it. It might be a 5-weeker, but if it's contact with the head, it is what it is. And I know that they did some studies where, and Peter Volandis brought this up of all people, where they'd had like a 30% reduction or something like that in head clashes in union, in head contact in union, just through this hard hand tactics of this hard line stance of any contact is a charge. So I think ultimately rugby league wants to get to that point where they're getting it out of the game. And if you can have consistent rulings around charges and punishments, I think that will go a long way towards getting it out of the game. If we keep saying it's incidental and there's no consequences, guess what? It's going to keep on happening more.
Nice, boys. Yeah, before we move on from that game, 34-12, as much as you guys lost Reece Walsh, Nathan Cleary, those two tries he put on, man, he a magician, and he looked so good. Yeah, what else did you see in that game, mate?
Well, and there's no excuses. To give away 34 points is pretty shoddy defense. But in saying that, I think it was early in the game, bro. So Kevin Walters got to think about this too with the bench cover. You can never find that person who can cover every single position, but. But what happened there, we got Cobbe went to fullback, and I think Piakuta pushed out to center, or one of them, or Ricky. But once that happened, there was like a second row there pushing out towards the centers, and it just kind of, you saw Cleary, and he did like a double fucking pump move and found an outside man. Cleary was just going to town on the edges because that just fucked up the whole defensive line, bro. Just having Cobbo at the back. I actually think Cobbo is awesome, bro, bringing the ball back. But I kind of thought maybe someone go onto the wing and bring Arthurs into centre. But I'm not sure, bro. But hey, you can't give Penrith any excuse to fucking. Not, you know, just a disruption to the backline that happens, bro, in the game. And they're just that kind of team, bro. And they're piled on 34 points. And it's not panic stations for the Broncos yet. But like I said, like if he's our number one attacking. So when he went off, attacking-wise, we didn't really have much in the bag as well. So I think the biggest out for us was not having Payne Haas there. They kind of not struggle, but not as dominant without Payne Haas there, bro. So there's a lot of, and like other teams, once our top players come off or aren't there, it's a bit of a struggle. You know, we lost a couple of players from last year, so the depth's not the same. But I'm still not paying stations yet, bro. But I think against a team like Penrith, bro, that's going to happen.
Yeah, Stace, you riding off the Broncos yet?
Yeah, I agree with Si. I thought that was actually quite a good game. I like what Ty mentioned before about the Panthers' ability to just sort of make adjustments to their game plan on the fly. So Reece Walsh goes off, Cobbo moves to fullback, and it was actually Piakura. He played out of position. He was playing left centre. And, you know, Cleary and Tungo, you know, they exposed his inexperience defending in that position. And they scored three tries down their edge in the first half. And they really targeted him. So Kivi, he makes some more changes and at halftime. And he moves Staggs to from right centre to left centre to cover. And he lets Jordan Ricci defend out of position on the left. on that right center. And the Panthers, they make another adjustment to their attack, and they start going down that side and attacking Ricky, and you know, Tuol ends up getting two tries down that side. So it's the ability of the Panthers to identify weak spots in the opposition defense and exploit it. That was the hallmark of this game. And that's been the story of their sort of three premierships as well. So
it kind of shows how important that that kind of the number 14 role, who can you know, a back who can play in the middle way or even one of those forwards, but who can fill in a gap in the back line as well. We kind of just rode with forward rotation, the Broncos did, and they kind of punished them when there was injury.
Nice, boys. All right, let's not dwell on the Broncos. You guys got another week. You got a game tomorrow, mate. So let's move on to something better and greater. The first win for the Warriors this season, finally on the board against a very strong Raiders pack. I'll go to you first, Stace. How was that celebration on Friday night, mate?
Yeah, it was good. Good to get our first win of the season. Sort of a bit of a rough start there, but it was an interesting game. Now, of the three games the Warriors have played so far, I actually thought that was the worst performance that they put out there. So to be relatively unconvincing and still pick up a win against the good Raiders side, you mentioned their pack. I think that augurs well for the rest of the season. I'll give a special shout out to Rocco Berry. I think he's really growing at right centre. So well done to him. And that battle between Timoko and RTS down that edge when RTS was playing centre for the first half at least, I thought that was a really good clash as well. So Timoko's really grown as a centre as well. But yeah, good one from the Warriors.
Yeah, well, what do you like about that game, Si? Anything to like, mate? You didn't really watch it after.
I watched
just Fali'i for the rest of
the week. I actually watched the game, bro. I watched the game. It was I didn't really have too much to fucking enjoy it. Halftime, it was a bit of a dogged kind of a game, bro. But I think there's a lot to do with the Raiders, man. They're that kind of team. When Fanua Blake scored in early, I thought, wow, fuck, Warriors are looking like the Warriors, because, you know, you hardly seen on that right-hand side, bro, when they get it right with Johnson making their plays and everyone running those lines. He had Fanua Blake on the front ball there, and it was perfect timing, bro. I think it was Timoko there on the right, on the Raiders' left-hand side. They just stretched them out. But, bro, they didn't have any luck after that, eh? And was it Metcalf scored late? And it kind of took...
Yeah,
and
RTS late as well.
Well, it kind of took... and it was, you know, after Metcalf scored, it was 2 points in it, bro. And Raiders, like I said, bro, Raiders are one of those teams that drag you down. I don't know so much drag the Warriors down to their level, because the Raiders are playing awesome. That's just the kind of style they have. I think that the Warriors are capable of a bit more, especially attacking-wise, and they're kind of maybe at 60-65%. But if you really want to – hit the nail on the head here, bro. It took an RTS special to pull them out of that game, bro. And he got that ball playing at fullback. So with Topiki there at fullback and RTS on the centers, it might have been, it could come down close, down to the wire, and then, you know, just kind of lucky that Raiders miss a kick and make it 10 points. But just stretch them out to 18 points took RTS special. And I think that's what they needed from last year. They just need the X factor. And this kind of players that come finals time stand up. But still a little bit worried. Just they don't really have their normal attacking game where Johnson's fucking firing on all cylinders and everyone's running those block plays. They're one of the best teams when it comes to those kind of back movements, eh? But good win, bro. Any 2 points is good. It's a good win, man. Good win.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, really good points. Yeah, I think RTS at the back there, you know, made a big difference. The Raiders not pulling a side down to their level, but I think just so much pressure, it's always going to be a tight game. They're really dogged, you know, they get up in your face and you'll have a plan, but, you know, because of their rushing defense, I think it just kind of throws that off, and so it ends up looking like an ugly game. I think the Warriors took good lessons from the Storm game the week before, you know, just finishing it out. You know, it looked like another one where we're going to have to go down to the wire, and they managed to hold on, so I think that was a positive thing. As much as it was quite scrappy after that RTS try, and you know, making sure they didn't have a comeback like the Storm the week before. Yeah, I think it was an awesome finish from them. To a picky out, so he failed his HIA in that game. So mandatory 11-day stand down. Nickel Klokstad not back. There was hopes that he'd be back in for this round, but so RTS gets a start at fullback up against Kalen Ponga. So we'll preview that game later on. We'll get around to that. Any other things out of that Warriors game? A few interesting calls during that as well.
Just listening to Simon talk before about the Bronx and, you know, once they got that injury, when you look at the Warriors, they've got guys like Dylan Walker. He's the guy who could, you know, if there was a back injury, he's played center before. He's played a bit of 5'8". The Warriors use him a lot through the middle as his primary role. But those types of guys, those 14s, like you mentioned earlier, Si, Chuck, they can be worth their weight in gold, particularly if there's injuries.
Yeah, and so I think that's one thing, eh? You look at the Warriors, and I think that's what Andrew Webster kind of planned for. With just the recruitment, you know, you see all these guys, like big names, like we get back this week. Who's coming in? Nakora coming in, yeah, coming right. back. So, you know, a lot of big names that we've just had sitting waiting on the, and we're kind of like, oh, we're overstacked, but I guess this is why. You know, you never know what's going to happen in a season. So, yeah. Nice win from the Warriors, promising for the rest of their season. It was one we really needed to get to kind of put in the bag, to kind of just get on the board and then get back to what the plan is for the year. All right, moving on to the next game. A real, real disappointing Bunnies getting smacked by the Roosters, 48-6. Man, yeah, I'm not sure what's happening over at the Bunnies. They made a few changes. Ilya seemed to be the scapegoat. I didn't think Dean Hawkins added much. No disrespect, but yeah. Gloa Matangi stood up. Cameron Murray stood up. I don't know if all the stuff that happened with Latrell just, yeah, kind of got to the team. Damian Cook starting from the bench. I don't know why they started Havili. Yeah, interesting. I'll come to you first, Sai. Your thoughts on this game? Teddy back to his best?
Fucking oath, bro. It just goes to show, like, the Roosters, man. They're quality premiership contenders, bro. And you just can't have an off day, man. And these guys, man, the Bunnies have been off since fucking week one, bro. I think we mentioned them in previous weeks. They're just four-packs not up to it, bro. But not only that, defensively, they got fucking shit line speed. And they're living in a lot of soft tries. But, you know, the biggest talking point for me is, like, Latrell's not going too bad, bro. But because he's one of these fullbacks that's not going to have a touch every set, he's a real soft hands, good creator kind of guy. But when he gets physical, one-on-one, he can smash guys. But he just doesn't have the quantity of plays like Ateli does. He's not going to give you, like, 200 meters. And he's almost got, like, a... He's so smooth, and he looks like he's not trying, right? Like, guys like him just have this quality. But you know what, man? People mistake that shit for, like, a lack of trying, and this guy doesn't have it.
Too lazy.
Yeah, bro. And so I think it was Freddie Fittler on Channel 9 was saying, like, Latrell, because it's easy for these journalists love jumping on fucking Latrell for anything. But he was backing him up, saying, you know, statistically, he's actually having a good year, bro. It's just that Walker's quiet because fucking the forward's not giving him any space, bro. So it doesn't matter how good your halves are, man. If you've got no time and if you're fucking got to kick the ball from within your half, you're not going to get quality field position to do your shit, man. I just think they don't have – I think Cameron Murray's, like, punching above his weight there, bro. He's probably the only one that can put his hand up saying he's quality and he's an international player. I think the rest of them, bro, need a, you know, and they've got the forward pack. A couple of years ago, it's the same pack, bro. They were, they made the finals. I think, I don't know, maybe the Burgess, bro, is trying, but maybe he's past his best. Totola's been quiet, man. I know he's quality, but he's not the same. And I don't know what the fuck doing Cook, putting him on the bench was going to do. But like you said, Tons, they replaced their seven, but that's not where the problem was, bro. And they just come up against the fucking, the Roosters did exactly what they should do with that lineup, bro. They just fussied them all over the shop.
Yeah, I thought Dominic Young, you know, he was good. He's picked up where he left off from last year with the Knights. Yeah. But Si, yeah, you mentioned it, man. The forwards at the Rabbitohs, they were dominated through the middle again. And then that allows Brandon Smith. You know, he got his running game going out of dummy half.
Yeah.
And then we saw Walker and young Sandon Smith. They were able to get their kicking game going with good quality front football. And the Roosters were able to run away with it quite comfortably. But, yeah, you guys mentioned it. You know, Lachie Ilias, he's been made the scapegoat, and he's been the high-profile player that's been, you know, that's paid the price for the Rabbitohs' poor start. But from what I saw in that game, you know, they got bigger problems than who's playing seven at the moment, because they've lost that forward battle in all of their matches so far this year. So, you know, I don't follow the Rabbitohs, so, you know, it'd be good to get someone like maybe Sammy on,
yeah,
on the pod one time to look at who they could bring in and if they've got anyone sort of in that wider squad that can provide the forward momentum and impetus that they need through the middle. Because you're right, Si, poor Cameron Murray, now he's probably the only middle forward there that can hold his head up high at the moment, but he needs some help. So I don't know who they can get in to fix their problems.
Especially that forward battle. I mean, it's, you know, a big milestone game for Jared Waiwera-Hargreaves, 300 games. And that's someone who's a real presence. You know, everyone who kind of talk about him, they always talk about him. He's like the alpha males of alpha males. And you're trying to come up against him with this kind of forward pack. You know, someone needs to do something. You know, just come with something that's going to, yeah, if you get a penalty, so be it. But you got to, like, having that guy on his 300, they always were going to be up against it. But, man, yeah, what a tribute to him and I guess testament to the way he's played over the years.
Bro, yep. What a player, man.
Oh, I wonder, like you mentioned, Si, like the Tyrell Mitchell, like he's sort of getting these little touches here and there, but he's a big dude. I wonder if he should just take the ball and just off the kick returns and run it straight. Like one thing which we didn't touch on with the bloody Panthers Bronx, but what's his name? Dylan Edwards ran for over 300 metres in that game. And Brian Tuttle was 240 or something around there. They're getting 550 meters from those two guys in their back two or their back three. And then that's starting their sets off. So I wonder if they don't have the forwards, they might have to get more impetus out the back three. And Latrell's big enough that he can skill some guys if he just runs
out. He's big enough to make an impact on a hitter, but does he have the engine like these fit fullbacks, bro?
Yeah, no, that's the point. That's a good point.
He's always bringing in his wingers. He's always bringing in his wingers to come in and fucking do the hard hit-ups.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that's a style, you know? Like with the ball in hand, one-on-one close to the line, man, he's always beating guys. But bringing the ball up or fucking, you know, I don't know. He's just not that type of fullback. But, bro,
yeah, they're just not getting the inroads and the forwards through the middle. So they've got to find another way of getting that, you know, winning the sets and getting that forward motion. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Just to
speaking of forwards, bro, those tons of bringing it up, man. Hargreaves, bro. What a legend, man.
Oh, yeah.
So for a Kiwi to do that, that's something special. Not only that, in the prop and the forwards, I think I mentioned it in my article about Ruben Wiki being one of the fucking greatest props, but I remember Rubes spent the best part of the 90s playing in the centres. This fella here, Argos, man, he spent every single minute of every game up front in the forwards. So big ups to him, man. I haven't really been a fan only because he's been like opposite teams and he's been a part of a Roosters team that smashed the Broncos over the years. But as a Kiwi man, I've always loved his passion and real leader, right, for that pack, bro, and he's kind of a bit of a testament to a good example for young players, good example for Kiwis. Maoli's coming up in the game, bro, and I think he stayed pretty consistent with his, off-the-field persona, bro, you know, being a leader and stuff like that. He's one of these players, hey, that crosses that white line, is a real mongrel, hey, and can really go over that fine line of being kind of like fucking grubby and hit high shots. But fuck yeah, I think he would have done fucking 350 or, you know, if he wasn't suspended. But
if he wasn't always getting suspended, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, it would have probably been real good to hear from someone like Sammy just to kind of give some insight because, yeah, where do the Rabbits turn around? We'll get to them in the preview, but I don't know. Any other thoughts on the Rabbits?
It's over. They ain't fucking top eight material, bro.
You had them in your eight ace days.
Oh, no. No, I didn't. I was the one who said the Rabbitohs were in.
Oh, there you go. All right. Let's move on to the next game, the Doggies and the Titans. Great to see the Doggies get a win. I don't know if that win, the scoreline also just reflects how poor the Titans have started this season. They had the bye last week. I thought that was going to be some great navel-gazing for them to try and figure out their season. And then they came back and lost to the woeful Doggies, who looked actually quite good. Yeah, a lot of their players starting to stand up and looking a lot more promising. I don't know if you saw this one, Stace.
Yeah, I caught bits and pieces of it, eh? So you mentioned earlier I didn't pick the Rabbitohs to make the top eight, which sounds like a good call. But the team I picked to go in instead was actually the Titans. And, shit, from what I've seen, bro, they're closer to wooden spoon calculations than anywhere near the top eight. So they got to make some major changes to their game. And when you add in the fact that they've lost their inspirational captain and Tino for the season.
Poor Tino.
I don't have high hopes for them. Good for New South Wales, which we might touch on a bit later. But in regards to the game itself, I thought Kikau, he looked good, eh? And he really went after Tanner Boyd, the Titans half, who had a bit of a shocker. And I like the kick pressure he put on Boyd as well. So, yeah, good signs for the Bulldogs. I really like the way Matt Burden's playing now. He's simplified his game as well.
Yeah, that's what it looks like,
eh? So he's either running the ball himself, and if it's sort of not on, he'll just feed Kikau early and allow him to try and cook something up. So, yeah, good one from the Dogs. I don't know the last time they've held a team to nil. Maybe they finally turned a corner on their defence. It's sort of hard to gauge because I know that we've talked about it a bit ad nauseum, but that coach they got in, whose Geraldo. Name escapes me at the moment. Serraldo. He's the defensive guru. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know if we're seeing signs of his defense coming through, or if the Titans are just really that poor. But, not sure what you guys made of that game.
Yeah, so you starting getting impressed by the Dogs? You a believer yet, or?
Oh, nah. It was a good win from them, and they played really well, but solid, man. Like, fucking how bad were the Titans, bro? And also, Stacey mentioned... They half Tanner Boyd. Fuck, what a capitulation, man. You see someone, it was Kikau, I think Kikau hit him all. But anyway, he was kick pressuring him all game, bro. And then by the second half, bro, he was just dropping the ball on the kicks, bro. And no one's ever dropped us, bro. You make the NRL, bro, you're tough ass, but it was more so the confidence of the guy, eh? Like, eh? Without Tino there, he was like, fuck, man, my forwards aren't fucking doing shit. Fucking, and I think that blocker rule, which Panthers were guilty of for fucking the last 5 years, I'm glad they got rid of that, bro. Because now, if your forwards ain't giving you dominant tackles, you're going to struggle, bro, on your kicks. That's exactly what happened, bro. Bro, just on the Titans, bro. I'm like, good win for the Doggies, but it's just hard to really analyze where they're at because Titans are so gaya. But fucking Titans gone backwards from last year, bro. What the fuck's going on there, man?
And everyone was expecting big things, especially with Dez coming in there. You know, Dez was coming in, new game plan, and they were hoping for big things, and maybe they're not scared of Dez yet.
I thought it was a sell move. Because what's his name? Preston Campbell's son. I always forget his name. I just call him Preston Campbell's son. Sorry. But he's been out, right? Yeah, sorry. And so I thought they got a fucking AJ Brimson, who's like an ex Queensland fullback. They got him there in the centres, bro. Like, fuck, put him at fullback, man. Get him into the game. But he stayed at centre. And like, at centre, it's a hard place to really. inspire your team from. Because it's quite a young team, but that's no excuse. Last year, they really brought it and they were close to making the eight. They're a young team, but they're capable. But just this year, bro, they look like Fox Memorial shit, bro. So, I don't know. Hasler is not a good start to his tenure, bro. I think he's going to start clipping some more doors to get them going.
Yeah, it's just looking at the team list as well. It's very much looks like a team that's rebuilding, but probably 3 or 4 years off making the fans excited. I didn't even know what Brimson was up to begin that game. He was through and in for a try, and then I don't know if he owed Kieran Foran some money or what. Put a bet on Foran to have first try scorer, try to give him the ball.
Yeah, I think he had his eyes on the ball the whole way through. So once he caught the ball, I think he lost his bearings. He didn't know how close the defenders were or how close he was to the try line. So he just sort of give it, and then, yeah. In hindsight, he'll watch that back and think similar to what you're saying, Tuns. If he holds the ball, that's an automatic try. They get off to a good start. They probably still don't lose. They probably still lose quite comfortably, but, you know, rugby league's a game of momentum. So once they get the momentum on, you know, who knows.
Yeah, I think good for the doggies to get on the board. Awesome win for them. So I think it's a start of things to come. We'll keep an eye on them, see how they go. All right.
Are they making the eight yet or nah?
No, I'd never mind.
Too early, eh?
Nah.
Not this year. All right, let's move over to the next game over at Jubilee Stadium. The Dragons out to a good start, and then Cowboys coming back over the top. Yeah, I don't know. There's a Cowboys finished real strong at the end of that. Valentine Holmes looked awesome. I don't know what was up with that start. The Dragons looked promising. It looked like one of those games the Dragons could go, and then kind of lost their way. You guys catch this one?
I did, bro. It was. I don't want to sound cliche, it was a game of two halves, which is one of these X shows that used to play in New Zealand that I was But anyway, fucking Dragons come out firing, bro. And I don't know if you recall, but Faitala Mariner chopped the fucking ball off the line right ahead, right? It was like just bombed the try. So it was like as if the team was like, gave up.
I don't know what he was doing. It was like bounced perfectly up into his hands.
I don't know, man. And I love this guy. He's made the move from the Doggies. You know, he's done pretty well to resurrect his career. But sorry, also, man, he just bombed the try there, bro. I try not to criticize any players, but just telling it like it is. But the reaction from the team, like fucking Cowboys scored not long after that. And fucking, that was good night, nurse, bro. Cowboys, one of these teams that they can just punish you once they get their tails up, eh? But it was quite poor from the Dragons just to be like fucking changes like that, bro. Like after coming up strong in the first, especially the first half of the first half. But I don't know, bro. It's Cowboys will be there or thereabouts, bro. Dragons, man, they started the season off good. They'll be disappointed with that performance, but. Yeah, bro. Look at these fucking tries. I only scored one. Or, you know, ended up being to the Dragons, bro. They're better than that. But just Cowboys got that attack, bro. That can punish you, man. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, Stace, these are your wooden spooners, eh?
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you, boys. I watched most of the game. Yeah, the Dragons. Yeah, they got off to that fast start. So it was 18-4.
Yeah.
They had a lead 18-4. And you talked about that try that they bombed. It could have been 24-4. You know, it'll be hard for the Cowboys to come back from that. Exactly. So I was thinking, you know what, the Dragons looking good. They might be in. But, you know, like a lot of teams that have been, you know, perennial cellar dwellers and don't have that culture of winning. You know, once the Cows got the lead, you know, the Dragons, they just couldn't wrestle back that momentum. And now, look, you know, the Cowboys are the only unbeaten team left in the comp, I think. So sitting pretty at the top of the table, so good one for them.
Yeah, I guess that's going to be the thing to for the Broncos look out for in this round. All right, let's move along. The Tigers surprised everyone in this one. I had the Sharks, Simon had the Sharks. I don't know how you went with this, Stace, but
yeah, probably Sharks Tigers on top. Plus.
Man, 32-6, that's Yeah. Who needs to be a 24/7 coach when you can pull off results like that? Yeah, Uppy was awesome in that. I saw the press conference at the end, and he was struggling. Benji was praising him, saying that, you know, he had gastro, didn't look like he should have been, you know, he was even going to play. And to put forward him, you know, the performance that he put on, yeah, that was first class. Yeah, if he can stay injury-free, man, I reckon he can carry these Tigers on his back a long way.
Yeah, I caught the game. I think Sharks were unlucky. They lost Royce Hunt before the game. And I think they had another injury, but they were just, they're down to like two guys on their bench. But not to take away from the Tigers, bro, they played awesome. And Uppy, man, he's shown, man. And not only that, he's one of these players now that he's inspiring his team. He's one of the top players, you know, kind of surprised. And, well, not surprising because, you know, New South Wales selection's been quite questionable over the years, but man, this guy should be a State of Origin rep number 19 for the last 5 years, bro. Like, I get that Cook is fast, but just overall, especially on defense, his nous around the ruck, fuck, he's right up there with one of the, if not the best nine in the game. But and now he's showing his leadership qualities. He's inspiring his team. I don't know if it's enough to put them in the eight, but I think it'll be enough to get them off the bottom four of the table, bro. So good one to the Tigers, and congrats on one of our Kiwi greats there, Benji, getting his first win of his coaching career.
Yes, Stace, so I mentioned the New South Wales. You reckon you'd start Uppy?
Gee, if he keeps playing over there, it'll be hard to leave out. I know that the New South Wales sort of hierarchy and the selectors and that, they put a lot of emphasis on NRL form, rightly or wrongly, because we know Origin's a bit of a different beast, and sometimes you can be a good NRL player, but not necessarily a good sort of Origin-type player. And I know when players sort of leave gun teams and go to Gaia teams, like Uppy going to the Tigers and all the rest of it, it can hurt your chances. We've seen Arokar when we went to the Bulldogs and they were struggling. Kotrick was the same. He was a New South Wales rep, went to the Bulldogs, took the money. So sometimes when you go to one of those Gaia teams, it can be a bit of a struggle to get in. But yeah, he's definitely an Origin level player for sure.
Should be. Yeah. Hoping he stays healthy because, man, he'll be a good pickup for the New South team. Justin Olam, he was his debut as a Tiger was a real good matchup in that game too. Solid win from the Tigers, especially against the Sharks, who have looked real strong for their first two games. I don't know, the Sharks out, or you just reckon they got unlucky, like Sai was saying, with those injuries?
Yeah, I don't know who's... They've lost Hamlin, Willie, Toby Rudolph is out now. They've just got almost no middle forwards. So it's so hard for them to try and pick up a win when they've just got so many players out. So and all in that same position. And that's where I think they're really struggling. So... I'm not prepared to write the Sharks off just yet. I think that they've still got a chance here. Royce Hunt's out, Toby Rudolph, Dolphinukian, Hamlin Willis. So they've got some pretty average Joes in the middle at the moment for them. So
some battlers.
That can be difficult for them.
Nice. We'll move on to the... Yeah, this was a really good game. Our first Sunday game was the Eels versus Manly. Eels taking this one, pipping them 28-24. Stace, you watched this game. What did you like about it?
Yeah, I did watch this game. This was actually the best game I saw over the weekend. And it was sort of a real game of contrasting styles and momentum. So the Eels, they lost Bailey Simonson to HIO protocols sort of throughout the week. So they had young Blaise Talangi. So he's normally a 5'8", and he was playing left centre. They had Morgan Harper, who's normally a centre. And he was pushed out wider to play on the wing. So the Seagulls really targeted those two guys early on and had some joy out flanking them on that edge and ran some beautiful sort of long-range tries to get an early lead. But then the Eels, they got their offload game going, and that forced Manly to sort of do double up on their tackles as they couldn't stop the ball movement. And they were able to sort of wrestle that momentum back. A few 50-50 calls, which we'll probably look into a bit deeper. But I thought Manly, they had some early joy, which I talked about, attacking the Eels left edge. And then they stopped doing that in the second half for some reason. But yeah, that was a high-quality game. And well done to the Eels. It's still early days, but if both teams keep playing like that, I think they could both be in finals calculations for sure.
Yeah, the Eels have impressed early in the season. I've really liked, Luke Brooks again, just making some little breakouts there.
Yeah.
Just before the half, that was a real good break, and just didn't have the support. You catch much of this game, Si?
Not at all, bro. To be honest, I did. I just caught up on the highlights, bro. But a couple of things that stood out to me. You guys mentioned Stace mentioned Blaise Taulagi. Fuck, what about his try over fucking over the top of Turbo, bro? Turbo's not small, bro. I've seen him in real life, man. He's kind of like fucking 6'4 or something like that. But just the way he hit the ball on, and first of all, fuck, sorry, what about the name of the man? Blaise Taulagi. Fuck, that's a superstar name ever.
And he had a good support crew, eh? All his family in the stands.
Yeah, man. I don't know, bro. Just from that play, bro. Like, and I see little things, and the way his touches and that. Fuck, he'd be a future superstar, man. What to look for? If I can mention one of the talking points, come out of that game, bro. What you guys think of that disallowed try, which was fucking probably crucial way and how close it was. But they had a bit of fucking argument. I saw online on Channel 9 about it. And I kind of agree. It was Gallen and Gus Gould. And Gus Gould has said this repeatedly about the obstruction rule. And obstruction rule is what you guys mentioned about union and head clashes. Like, it's the same thing for obstruction rule. Whether you like it or not, it's black and white, bro. You can't stop in the line. You can't impede. You can't go and hit the outside shoulder. You just got to run through. And I think this one kind of stood out because he was a little bit further on from the play as well. And he kind of milked it a little bit. But black and white by the book, it's obstruction, bro. The defender wasn't allowed a chance to get to it, bro. We all know this motherfucker wasn't going to get there anyway, but you can't argue with the rule. You can disagree with it, but all we want is consistency, bro. And I was like, fuck, what a shit call. But it's the right call, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Stace, your thoughts on that? You agree?
Yeah, I do. I do agree with Si. I think, you know, we'll never know what would have happened, even though he probably would have got done easy. But, you know, it's up to the...
I would have been trying all day of the week.
Well, it's still up to the guy running the decoy to not impede. So I'm not sure if you saw this in the Warriors game, but the coach Webster's got the style where they run like a double block play and they'll get two lead runners, but they don't run through the line. So he's coached them to run, and as soon as they've finished the decoy, they stop and then they backpedal to try and make sure there's no obstruction and they can be ready for a support play or whatever. It's just these little nuances in coaching, which I think they've got to get better because, you know, he sort of just was Jake Triple, which he runs through the line and he sort of just stops in the middle of nowhere. So they got to do that better.
Nice, boys. That was a real tight game. I think that was probably the biggest talking point that came out of it. There was earlier, like, I just thought maybe it was a bit of a even up the score because it was real that Luke Brooks play earlier that I was saying that he made the break, there was no support. Then they get the reset. Daily Trevor Evans tries to put in a little grubber. It looked like a knock on, but they recycle the ball. And then Turbo, same kind of thing, close to the line, but he runs in behind Ben Trbojevic and then swings it back the other way and they end up scoring on the right hand side. And there was just seemed to be a lot of rubber the green for them on that call. So I don't know if that was just to even up make that mistake from the ref. One thing I did want to point out too was just before we finish off with the last game was just around the speed of the game. Like just so much for the refs to pick up on now. And the game so much faster, you know, the decisions around head knocks, trying to make sure, you know, the blockers, you're not downtown, and so much happening. Is there conversation or is there time to think about bringing back a second ref again? I know we kind of, they experimented with that and they got it back out of the game, but it's so fast and there's so much happening. Do we need a second ref back in the game? I don't know your guys' thoughts on that.
Nah, no way. I think the game's under a microscope enough, bro. I think it's too much, especially with the video ref. Just everything gets magnified, bro. And I don't know. I believe us as a public, we want the right calls all the time. And bro, I'm a realist, bro. Refs are human. You're not going to get the right calls all the time. I think the public need to get over the fact that if he makes a bad call, it's a bad call. Now, where the calls are, like, inconsistent, then you can fucking bitch and moan. But, like, when we start magnifying calls, oh, God, we need two fucking refs because it's the speed of the game. No, man, the game's been fucking the same for 100 years, man. Like, ref the game, he gets it wrong, move on. But now we're fucking pausing the game, going up to the video ref and fucking putting it under a microscope. It fucking prolongs it. It's almost making it a bit like a gridiron, bro. I don't think we need to speed up the game on the field with the athletes. I think we need to speed up the game in terms of how it's refereed. Like, fuck the video ref. I think the video ref should be...
quicker decisions.
Less of a fucking... you know, they just look at put downs, bro. Put downs on the line. That's it.
You agree with that, Stace?
Yeah, no, I agree. Oh, yeah, no, I do. I do agree with Simon. I mean, I think that's right. If you look at, obviously, I do the counter acts. If you look at rugby union and the route that they've gone down, you think about that World Cup final, and shit, that was the most stop start, boring, over refereed game, and they went down the route of trying to make sure they get all the calls right, and it's disastrous. So if you look at that, I'd hate for the NRL to go down that route. I'd rather just live with sometimes you get the 50-50s and sometimes you don't, and keep it the way it is, as opposed to let's over officiate to make sure we get every call right, because I've seen what happens to a sport like union where they've gone that route, and it's worse off for
nice,
it. So,
nice, boys.
No.
See, you agreeing on everything tonight.
Yeah. I got the TikTok community to change Simon's perspective for me, man.
Yeah. All right, boys, let's move the last game of last week. End out the round. The Knights holding on to beat the Storm. I think it was I wouldn't say solid game from the Knights, but they did enough. They were favourites for this game actually going in with a lot of the outs that the Storm had. No Nelson again. Still no Cameron Munster. And also Jerome Hughes was out. So they were up against it with a new house pairing. But yeah, the Storm seemed to come back with 12 unanswered points in the back end. And the Knights doing enough to hold on. You guys catch this one?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I saw bits and pieces of it. It wasn't a real... You know, on the scoreboard it was close, but it was a bit of a... It wasn't a great match, to be honest. You know, you mentioned who the Storm were without. You know, Nass out, Munster out, Hughes was suspended. And for me, I was thinking, shucks, if the Knights can't win here, you know, I was almost prepared to to put a line through them. But, you know, they dug deep. They picked up their first win, so... Yeah, not much to say, but yeah, well done to the Knights. Good on them for getting their win and staying in touch with the teams.
You see any impact or change dropping Hastings and bringing in Cogger?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not sure. It's going to take a bit of time. If you change the halfback, like, you think that they control so much of the game. So changing from 7-7, it's going to take a few weeks to sort of embed the new style. I didn't see much. I think that, you know, Kalen has barely been involved in the first two games, and he's their main weapon. So I think that was the reasoning behind the change of 7, hopefully give Kalen more quality ball. I don't know if I saw that in this in this game, but that also speaks highly of the Storm's defensive systems. And if they hold the Knights to 14, if you told me that before the game, I would have picked the Storm to win. So, it's still early days for me to say.
All right, boys, that's a wrap of last week. Let's have a look ahead. Let's before we get into our previews for this week, our NRL draft. I just want to just quickly bring that up. And I see, let's have a look at the matchups for last week. We had Clutch City Official up against All Madden. All Madden sitting top of the ladder, took him out 681 to 587. So, Cameron Swore looking good at the top of our table. You two went up against each other head to head. Sai, you take that one. What happened there, Stace? You forget your captain again, mate.
When we did our draft day, my first two draft choices, I didn't look at the injuries, but I had Dave Fifita and Cameron Munster, my first two guys. Oh. They haven't played. I also had Jackson Hastings, who was getting in the 50s. He's been dropped.
Didn't you have your spreadsheets out, mate?
I didn't check the injuries. And then, I thought that the Sharks would destroy the Tigers. Mulitalo was averaging 60 for my team. So for them to get pumped like that,
I put him as captain.
hoping for the best. Credit to Sai. I know Sai's
with captain 66 points.
Sai's our defending champ, so you know he knows what he's doing. I had to sort of reach into my bag of tricks to hopefully pull something out the bag, and no luck this week.
Nice. We had God Squad taking out Roger Ultimate Manly. God Squad just pipped them, actually. 555 against Roger's 541. So, Ultimate Manly, I don't know who's carrying him in his team this year, but must be someone that's sitting in his team that's looking good. Last year's reigning champ, Mandingo, took out the Golden Elites.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. Gave you too much credit there.
I think Sai was were you top four, mate? Yeah, something like that? There or thereabouts?
Yeah, that's right.
You made the final. There you go. Oh, it was the same matchup. Yeah, it was both the grand final, same pairing.
Oh, and that means one of us is going to make it this year. Me and you, tons. Warriors are going to be the
one. And I took out Nacho. Nacho, I'm not sure what's happening with Nacho. I think he might be taking a rest this year. I think he put his team in, might be on autopilot already. Maybe he's on set for another Avatar. Hope you're well, Danny. if you're listening in, mate, go and check on your team. I think your team's on life support.
Thanks for your $50 donation, Dan.
Make sure you paid your fees. That's probably why. You paid your fees, yeah, mate. All right, let's have a look at the games on now. So we got this game. Oh, should be updated. Oh. Roosters and the Panthers. Oh, okay. Here we go. We're already halfway into the half. How you guys seeing this? We got a bit of a preview, but what did you guys pick? I went Panthers on this. Just their second man up. I always think they're strong enough. Roosters looked impressive, but how are you thinking on this one, Stace?
Yeah, Panthers won 8 in a row against the Roosters, so they've never won 9 in a row against anyone, so they'll be looking for a bit of history there. Cleary out, which seems like a big loss because he's the best player in the game, in my opinion. But, you know, they've got an 87% win record with Cleary and still 72% win without him. So that's a testament to their structures. I saw this other stat here that looking at the Roosters, you know, so we talked about this earlier, but they carved the Rabbitohs up last week 48-6. Now, 17 of the last 18 times that they scored more than 40 points, they backed it up and won the next week as well. So that might be an ominous sign, but I can see the score now. So I like the Panthers. Their systems are phenomenal, man. So I'll get Panthers by 6 on that one.
Tomorrow's games. First game tomorrow is the Doggies and the Rabbitohs. Doggies getting a good win against the woeful Titans, and the Rabbitohs getting sussed last week. How do you see them bouncing back this week, Stace?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Hey, Rabbits have lost 5 straight now, including if you include the into last of last year. You know, I will say the Rabbits, they've won all 5 games against the Dogs. since 2018 in these Easter clashes. So I do think the Rabbitohs, even though I didn't rate them that highly, I think they'll get a win this time. So I'll go Rabbitohs by 10 on that one.
Yeah, I actually went I went Dogs on this. Just a team on the up. I think the Rabbits, you know, they've been in a corner for a while and everyone's waiting for them to find their way out of that corner. Yeah, this is a hard one to pick. So I don't know if it's a toss of the coin. I think it really shows it's probably a good matching for both of these teams, kind of just to kind of see where they're at. I don't think the placings kind of mean much. It's still early, you know. That's one thing I realized. It feels like so much footy. It's only round four, but it's been so exciting and so many real classy games that it's so hard to pick, where teams are really at until they start playing each other a bit more. So this should be actually pretty good, even matchup. And both teams should be desperate. So it should be real. Hopefully it's high quality. I'm not convinced with Blake Taff at the back. I'm still... Yeah, I guess they're stuck. They need Crichton and that they're at centre. Taff just hasn't fired for me yet. I'm hoping he starts. Yeah, he's not the biggest guy. He can't get those high balls. He's not a huge leaper. He's not a meter eater either, like Dylan Edwards. So I'm yet to see what he brings to the Doggies. But I've gone with Doggies on this. So let's see how it rolls out. Second game on Friday, you're off to this one, Si, so I'll come to you first, man. You reckon your Broncos, you've got a lot of big names out. Yeah, like you said, you know, a team without your starting half and your main prop and also your gun fullback. Second man up, you guys got enough depth? Tristan Saylor's always been solid, though, coming back, and every time he's played for the Broncos, he's looked like starting 13 player. So
yeah, Cowboys flying high top of the table. Broncos without Reese Walsh and Haas, you know, that does make it difficult. But you mentioned that Cy Reynolds back, that's a massive bonus. If he was out, I would have gone for Cowboys easy. I think this could be match of the round. And you know, it's interesting. Ooh. Like you talked about Blake Taff there at the Dogs. Shucks, they should try and make a play for Tristan Saylor, because I reckon he's good enough he's good enough to be a starting fullback somewhere, and he ain't gonna get a look in unless Reese Walsh gets injured. He's better than Blake Taff, I'll take that much. So we talked about the Cowboys, how they got off to that poor start against the Dragons. They were also poor for periods the week before. So I'm not convinced, even though the Cowboys are top of the table, I don't think they're that good. So I'll go the Bronx as well on that one.
Ooh. And this guy, you're on the same syrup, mate. What's going on? I'm backing Alafal's son, Caden, and his Valentine Holmes boys. So, I'm going to go with the Cowboys on this one. And, big call on game of the weekend. But, yeah, I think this will be a clincher. And I think Cowboys, I think they need a solid performance. This is a good opportunity for them, like you said, without... Like what the Panthers did to this Broncos forward pack without Haas last week. I think Jordan McLean's looking real good to start this year. And Tom Malolo, you know, was looking a lot better last week as well. So those two starting, I think that forward momentum again. Big in to have Reynolds back. I think the Cowboys forwards are going to be too much and we'll get them over the line for this. All right. First game for Saturday night, the Sea Eagles up against Stacey's Wooden Spooners, the Dragons. Stace, are you seeing this straightforward for the Manly?
Just to me, like you said, I picked the Dragons to win the Wooden Spoon. So that says a lot about how my thoughts on the Dragons and what they were capable of. And you know, Manly are actually flying high, so I think the Sea Eagles will take this one quite comfortably. So I'll go Sea Eagles 13 plus on that one.
Nice. Let's move along to the Titans looking woeful up against my Wooden Spooners, the Dolphins. They're starting to make me eat my words, but then they had a break last week. They had their bye. So they're back in action. The week before, the Hammer looked awesome. And so, they've changed out the Jaden Campbell's back. So you guys mentioned him earlier. So he's back in the starting lineup at fullback. Yeah, Tanner Boyd back in there at number 7. So, yeah, I guess it comes down to that Ford matchup you guys mentioned. Palacia, I see he's starting, so that should be good. I love his footwork. He's got awesome late footwork as well for a big fella. Sai, how do you see this one going, man? Dolphin spanking, all right. Stace, you reckon it's a spanking or a close one?
Yeah.
You're going Dolphins as well?
Yeah, I am, actually. But, you know, these Queensland derbies are always a lot closer than the table, and then the positions on the tables can suggest. So I'll pick a close one just because, you know, all these Queensland teams get up to play against each other. But the Dolphins got too much power, in my opinion. And Tino out, that's huge.
Yeah.
I think, I'll go Dolphins, but close. Dolphins in a close one.
Fins up. Nice. Yeah, I went Dolphins on that as well. So it looks like the Dolphins all around on that. Real hard position for the Titans. If that's the way it goes, that's going to be 4-0. So one to discuss next week, depending how that game goes. All right, moving into our Sunday games. Easter Sunday, 3 games on that day. So, oh no, we got a Monday game. Actually, we've got an Easter Monday game as well. So our 2 games on Easter Sunday is kicking us off over at Go Media Stadium. Stace, you're heading out to this. What are you hoping to see out of this game, man? Everyone is there. Kalen up against RTS. That should be awesome.
Yeah, Battle of the Fullbacks. That's worth the price of admission alone. And I'll be there at Mount Smart this Sunday, supporting the Warriors and hoping for a good win. But, if the Warriors are to be a force, you know, we need to make sure that Mount Smart is a fortress and, you know, win those home games. So I think that they can do that, and I'm picking the Warriors a lot with the heart. And I think we've got a good record against the Knights. We gave them a good old-fashioned beating in the playoffs, which we talked about sort of pre-podcast. So I'm predicting us to carry on that form. And that halfback Cogger still needs a bit of time to grow into that team, I think. So Warriors with a bit more settled combinations and some reinforcements back with Wade Egan and Nia Kore and a few other guys. So, yeah, Warriors. I'll go Warriors 13-plus on that one as well. I would keep him at fullback just because RTS needs to grow into the centre role. He hasn't played there a lot at all, really, in his whole NRL career. So he'll be good there, but he needs what he doesn't have is just time in the jersey. Similar to we talked before about that Titans, AJ Brimson. I think it's a similar logic there. They're just going to keep him there, let him grow into the role. I never thought that RTS would come back and kill it straight away as a centre. I felt that, you know, it would take him a month or two to get up to speed in a new position and back in the NRL. So I'm happy with where he's at as a centre development, but, you know, it's going to take a bit longer. So I'm happy with... I trust the coach too. He's done so much good stuff at the Warriors. If he says RTS is a centre, then, yeah, I'm happy with that.
Oh, stay tuned for Sunday, mate. Stay tuned for Sunday. Yeah, I think, again, still some, you know, a bit of a change in the lineup. Not what's planned, but obviously they've trained for this week. You know, you mentioned the halves, you know, just getting some consistency. So, you know, a few games with Luke and Sean together. The Ford battle is going to be interesting. Saifidi brothers starting, both of them starting. So that's going to be a nightmare for Vossi trying to call this game, trying to figure out which is which. But yeah, I'm expecting a complete game from the Warriors. So yeah, I reckon this will be one to really watch, just in terms of the way they play the game. You know, it's just a real shaky start. And I think they needed that win just to kind of, in terms of mindset, just to get those points on the board. Wade Egan coming back. Yeah, I'm looking forward to a really solid performance from the Warriors, a real settled game. And complete. So, yeah, I reckon they'll have a good start and go on with it. They seem to have had a few starts, fall away, and then hold on or lose it at the end. But looking forward to a big one from them, and I'll go Stace with a big one from the Warriors over at Go Media Stadium. Nice, boys. Heading over to probably a real... This looks like it's going to be a real grudge match, just a real shakedown. Raiders and Sharks, real gritty. Raiders and the Sharks starting with a real good two games and then disappointing against the Tigers. How do you see this one going, Stace?
Yeah, disappointing against the Tigers is correct, but I'm looking at the injury list, and I brought this up a bit earlier, but they've lost Finucane, Toby Rudolph, Royce Hunt, Braden Hamlin-Lewelle, and Jesse Colquhoun. So that's five middles that they've got out. And you know, you look at some of the guys they've picked, Thomas Hazleton, they've got
he's huge,
Tukuhol Tapua. They've got some guys, some middles that I've never heard of.
Straight out of New South Wales Cup.
Straight out of New South Wales Cup. And you compare that to the Raiders, who are a forward-orientated team. I just see them getting run through. Yeah, they're trying to find, pulling forwards out of anywhere just to get some go forward. And I just think that the Raiders will just run through the middle. And I'll pick the Raiders on that one just for that reason.
Nice. You mentioned Talakai Zouts. Kyle Iro, is that one of the Iro brothers' sons?
Yeah, one of them. I'm not sure which one. It is. It's one of them. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I went Raiders with this one as well. All right, and rounding out the round, finishing us off on Easter Monday game. So this will be good. We all got the holiday. Before we head back to work, we get to have some more footy on the Monday night. The Eels and the Tigers. The Tigers looking real good to get their first win on the board. But, man. Stace, you reckon it's going to be that much of a
play? Yeah, I do. This game played at Combank. The Eels have a 70% win record at Combank. And just looking at the Eels, they've won 9 of their last 10 Easter Monday games. So they've got a good record during that time. And credit to the Tigers for getting that win. And we talked about that earlier. But, you know, they've always been capable of one good performance here and there. And the Eels are a team that's sort of relatively consistent-ish. So I'll trust the Eels a bit more. I'll go Eels by 13-plus as well on that one.
Man, there's a lot of big scorelines on your card. Yeah. Might have to get down to the tab on some of these.
They don't trust my ones, mate. They never come true.
Good wrap of all the games. Any other points to bring up of this round? Cool. That's a wrap. Thank you, boys, for joining me. The Wiz, the latest Wiz sports magazine's out. Stace, you get an article in on that?
Nah, not this time, mate. I might maybe looking at the next one. I know Sai's basically our scribe mostly, so. But it's good to get some different perspectives. We had Joey, he wrote an article, a rugby article for on behalf of the Counter Rucks, so yeah, check out the episode 2. And I'll just quickly give a shout out to guy Wally, the stats man. If you, any listeners, give him a follow on social media. So I know I give some stats during when we do our previews, and I get a lot of information from him. So Wally, the stats man, thanks, Sauce.
Nice.
Not all of them. I get them from different parts, but he's my main guy. He's my main go-to guy, mate. Wally, the stats man, give him a follow.
Wally, the stats man. All right, give him a follow. Think we're all going to be following Wally, the stats man, from now on.
Now, give him his credit. No. I'll just take a couple here and there, but I think last week I should have given him a shout out because I used nearly all of his stats last week. But
Nice, Wolf. All right, boys.
Cheers, boys.
Happy Easter. Enjoy it, man. Praise God. That's what Easter's about. You know, thanking him for everything he's done. This is why we get to live the lives we live. Enjoy it, boys. Have a great break. We'll catch you on the next one. Thanks for jumping on, Usos. Catch you up.
Cheers, boys. Bye.